Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this very familiar piece of Scripture. May its familiarity not confuse us from the comfort that lies here, and help us to hear yet once again why it is so familiar and precious, because of who You are and what You have done for us in Christ Jesus. We pray in Your name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, anybody who ever had a conversation with Irwin at one time or another heard him express the biblical doctrine or teaching of God's providence and of God being the King and sovereign over the universe. He might have come out with a statement like, "Nothing comes by chance," or "God's in control," or "God's way is the right way," or "Not a hair can fall from my head apart from God's will." And every one of these statements is true. And every one of these is based upon so many of God's holy scriptures. And these statements, this teaching, was so important to him that it gave him a comfort in life and in death. And it's important to us as well. So that today, as we face death, we might learn how to go on living because of this same truth. In our passage, Romans 8:28 is indeed perhaps the most famous of all the scriptures that teach this truth. And the lesson is loud and clear. Nothing comes by chance. Nothing. Nothing comes by chance, because God's purpose is to work all things together for the good of His children. And so let's just walk through this familiar verse together to remind ourselves of what God wants us to know. Nothing comes by chance. Well, which things don't come by chance? Which things are in God's control? Notice the beginning of this verse, it says, we know that all things are in God's hands. And right away, at the very beginning of this precious verse that we memorize and recite to one another, we see how controversial a comfort of Scripture can be in the world. For there are many who deny this fact that all things are in God's control. There are even pastors and Christians who are confused, and many unbelievers, of course, deny that all things are in God's hands. God certainly could not be in control of the tough times, the times of suffering, the bad things. Certainly God's not in control then, is He? We are told. We are told that when 150,000 people died in the tsunami disaster a few years back, God wasn't in control that day. We are told that on 9/11, God wasn't in control that day. Oh, He is there as a great resource. He's watching the sins and the mistakes of people on earth along with us, and is sad, and He's there for us to lean upon, to point us out a better way. But that's it. And yet, if God is not in control in those times, then we have a problem. A gigantic problem. Who was in control on those times? Who was God for a day? And how do we know that He's not going to come back again? How can I really expect my God to help me pick up the pieces of my personal life tragedies when He couldn't be with me even in those tragedies? that he wasn't in control in all things. Now the Bible tells us a different story, a truth, a comforting story, a fact that all things are in God's control. Earlier in this chapter, in verse 18, it mentions that not only times of joy and glory, but also times of suffering are in God's control. The Bible tells us again and again that the evil plans that men have made, God can overrule those and make them turn out for the good of his people. Think of the greatest example of that. Those who plotted Jesus' death were evil, and they are held accountable for that in the Bible. And yet in Acts 4, verse 28, we read that God could even work that together for the good of his people, for our salvation, exactly as he had planned to do long before any of us were ever born. All things. Nothing comes by chance. Nothing comes by chance. Something might happen in your life, you might wonder why. Our dear friend, Father, would have reminded us that didn't come by chance either. But I wonder if anybody ever said, Grandpa, if it doesn't come by chance, how does it come? If it doesn't come by chance, how does it come? Well, the answer, of course, is that all things come from God's perfect plan. A plan that is mysterious, a plan that quite often doesn't make sense to us if we were in control, but a plan which is for good. A plan which has as its foundation a foundation that could never crumble away. As 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 tells us, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, Jesus Christ. A faith that has Christ as its foundation, now that is a true faith. A faith that saves. A life that loves Jesus and has him as the focus of your heart and life. Now that is a life worth living. A life worth praising God for, because he has taken you who once were lost and now you are found, and he's worked out his perfect plan in your life. All things in his hands. You see, the troubles of this life are not a hindrance to our salvation. The troubles of this life do not keep us from experiencing joy in Jesus. It seems that way quite often, doesn't it? But what this verse reminds us is they don't keep us. In fact, by God's grace, they help us. He works them together for good. Only the Christian could say that. Only the Christian has the right to be optimistic. Because we know God is working all these things together for our good. And we should be optimistic. And when we say this verse to ourselves and to others to comfort them, we do not say it out of a heart of desperation. When all else fails, oh yeah, I guess God's in control. No, we say it from a heart of faith. A heart of faith that is described in earlier in Romans in chapter 5, verse 3. It says that we can even rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And now that hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You and I have a comfort in life and in death because Christ Jesus has redeemed us from all the power of the devil. And so preserves us, that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together. For what? For my salvation. That's our comfort. And that comes right out of our verse. For we see not only all things are in God's hand, but all things work together for good. For good. What kind of good is God talking about in this verse? Well, good as God defines it. And so many times we in our sinful nature, of course, don't quite define things the way we ought to. But God knows what is good. He is a Father who knows what is best. And God's definition is always better than ours. And if we think about it, it would be foolish for there to be a Bible verse that says, good things work together for good. Well, duh, we'd expect that. But it says all things work together for good. And that includes the things that we don't look at as good or pleasant to experience. Think of so many examples in the Bible. I'll just give one. Joseph in his life. Sold into slavery by his brothers. Left as good as dead. And along the way, even after that, many people came who could have helped Joseph. But instead, they told lies about him and caused him to be thrown into prison. And he continued for a long time under suffering and shame. Was God in control of Joseph's life, even in those times? We see that God eventually sends a famine throughout the whole world. And Joseph's brothers and family have no food, and they have to go down to Egypt to survive. And who is it that they buy grain from? Well, the second in command of the whole Egyptian empire, the greatest kingdom in that time of the world. And it just happens to be their long lost, as left for dead, brother named Joseph, whom God had raised up. And Joseph said in that time, in Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph says to his brothers, when you sold me into slavery, you meant it for evil. And you need to repent of that. And they did, asking for forgiveness. But in that same event, it says, God was working and he meant it for good. In order to bring things about, as it is this day, Joseph said, to save many people alive. God does indeed work things together for the good of his people. So many things we have experienced in our own life and heart. But the hardest thing is to understand that God can work together for good are things like death. What possible good can come from death? There's a local man who says that death is good, but he says it for a very different reason than the scriptures tell us. To this man, God is not almighty. God is not just. God is not fair, and he is definitely not good. We live in a world that has evolved. Or perhaps there was some divine power out there that started the whole thing and gave it a push, but now his hands are off and he lets the world go however it chooses. And for this man and the millions of people with similar beliefs and religions around the world, death is good because we live in a world of limited resources and it is a survival of the fittest. And thus, when there is death, that leaves more resources for the rest of us. What a cruel thing to say and to believe. But there are people who think this way, and indeed, every unbeliever, if they honestly examine their heart and their beliefs, would come to similar conclusions. We can be so grateful that God does exist and that the God that does exist is not some tyrant in the sky or not some force out there who is cruel and harsh and unforgiving. But he is Almighty God and a loving Heavenly Father. That's who our God is. And he truly does work all things together for good, for the real benefit and lasting salvation of his people. And that includes tragedies and trials like death. And yet in death we see a loved one who has left us, left our family, and we mourn as we ought to. We don't wish this experience upon anyone. And yet God says He's still in control, and even this will work together for good. But how about the perspective of that person who is dying? And that's a perspective we all need to consider, because we all will face our final day on earth much sooner than we think. How can your own death, as you look to that in the future, how can your own death be any good for you? You're going to leave this world and all the comforts and the health and joy that you had and your family and your friends. And yet even in your death, God can work together for good. Both for the one who dies and for those who are left behind on earth for a few more days. Jesus shows us how that works. The good that comes. Because He comforted His disciples as they were worried about Him and His coming death. And He said to them in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." All things work together for good. And when we recite that verse, quite often we recite that, but sadly we stop right there. All things work together for good. The verse doesn't stop there. All things work together for the good of those who love God. Because perhaps sometimes we don't recite this verse properly, there are many people out there running around, many non-Christians who have a false confidence, thinking they have a life insurance policy to live however they want. And somehow God will fix it. Somehow, some way, because He's in control. He is in control. And He works things together for the good of His people. That's what the Bible says. Believers and unbelievers live in the same world and face the same trials and tragedies. But for the believer, God works it together for their good. The Christian has that solid comfort that even this will be for my good. If you are sitting here today and you do not love God, you do not worship Him with your whole life, then sadly, none of these comforts are for you. And so we urge you, before it is too late, to submit your heart and your life to Christ. Trust that He is your only way to heaven. There's no other way to have this comfort except in the perfect plan of Jesus, who came to earth not by chance, but to work all things together for the salvation of His people. He even carried the guilt of our sins upon Himself, so we can know we are forgiven and free in Christ. But we're reminded also from the rest of this verse, not only does God work things together only for His people, but He doesn't work those things together for us because we deserve it. For what does it say? To those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. When did that happen? Long before we were ever born, God chose us as His people. You see, God knew us before we ever cared about knowing Him. 1 John 4, verse 19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." When is it that all these things come from His hand for our good? When is it that we can say nothing comes by chance? Today? Yes. But can we say it tomorrow? And was it true yesterday? This verse is put in the middle of a chapter that shows that indeed in the past, present, and future, God is in control. And He's caring for His people. In the past, when we were called according to His purpose, before we were ever born, God loved us and brought us into a place where we would grow up to know Him or meet someone who shared the gospel with us, and we believed in Christ and followed Him. In the present, too, God is in control. Verse 18 mentions, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And down in verses 26 and 27, they come right before our verse. We're reminded that we need to pray, but as Christians, we don't quite know how to pray. And sometimes, especially in times of grief, we just feel like we should pray, but we don't know what to say. And God says, I'm helping you. I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. That's how much He loves us, that He helps us even talk with Him. And in the future, too, nothing comes by chance. So if you read, this God who called us according to His purpose has a plan of not just loving us in this life and leaving us be after death, but He will take us home to be with Him, to be glorified forever, in a place where there is no sin, where there is perfect memory and perfect understanding of the Lord Jesus, such as we have never known in this life. Do you long for today to be for your good? Do you want to be better off because you lived today? If you love God, belong to His church, and worship and trust in Him, this will work together for your good, even a funeral. God has called you and reminds you and me that the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come. God's way is the right way. Nothing ever comes by chance. But it all works for the good of God's people. Why? Because He loves us and He makes it that way. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we are so grateful unto You, You who are the comfort and support of those who sorrow and are weary. We know that You do not delight in grieving or afflicting the children of men. And so we pray that You would look down in tender love and pity upon Your servants in this bereaved household, whose joy has been turned into mourning for a time. Be pleased to uphold, strengthen, and comfort them according to the multitude of Your mercies, so that they may not faint under Your fatherly chastening, but may find in You their strength and refuge. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.